We continue today with lesson number 82 in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Kelim. We are in the 20th Perek, the second and third Mishnah, Perek Chof, Mishnah Beis, and Mishnah Gimel. We're still talking about various vessels, utensils, etc., and whether or not they are Mekabel Tumas Medris. Whether or not, if a Zav, Zava, Yoldis, or Nida sit upon them, do they become an Avatuma like the Zav, etc., is. And the real basic issue is, are they primarily, or even secondarily, but in a major way, designed and intended to be seats or chairs or benches, etc.? Or are they designed for other purposes? And if they are designed for other purposes, under what kind of circumstances can they be Mekabel Tumas Medras? So the Mishnah begins with a musical instrument, which sounds to me like a bagpipe. Chemes chalilin, it's a chemes, meaning it's a large leather pouch, but it has tubes, flutes, coming out of it. Tehoda min hamedris, so even though it's quite large and inflated, and it might be possible to sit upon it, but it's really not, and therefore certainly not designed as a seat, and it's not very comfortable as a seat either, and therefore it is tohora min hamidras. Vizav sits on it, the chemes chalilin remains tohora. Arevas pisonos, this is kind of a wheelbarrow, a large tub in which people who are builders put the bricks and stones, etc., in that wheelbarrow to wheel it from one place to another. Beishamai Yomim Midras. Beishamai says it is Metamim Midras because it is possible to sit upon it. Ubeis Hillel Omrim Tamei Meis. Beis Hillel says no. If it comes in contact with a dead body, yes, then it's Mekabel Tumah, etc. But it is exempt from Tumas Medras because it is not designed, it's not even ro'oi for yeshiva. It's not the kind of thing people normally sit on unless really unusual circumstances. So since it's not specifically designed as a seat, as a chair or a bench, but rather as a wheelbarrow, it is not Mekabel Tumas Medras. Arevo, if there is a large tub in which normally the normal use of the arevo is to put in flour and water and to knead it, K-N-E-A-D it, to the extent that it becomes dough. So such an arevo, if it is mishne log, now remember there are four login in a kav, so an arevo mishne log, an arevo which is a half of a kav in size, it can contain a half of a kav of whatever, v'yatisho kabin, until it's the size of 9 kabin, that's, such a sized areva, which is between 2 log, a half a kav, and 9 kabin, one can sit upon it, but normally one would not sit upon it because it is an areva. It's a tov which is used for lisha, for kneading, K-N-E-A-D-I-N-G. So therefore, if it's not broken, it's not Mekabel Tumas Medras because it's something that's used as a kitchen utensil. But chenistika, if it becomes cracked, no, if it becomes cracked, it can't be used for lisha anymore. And therefore, it can't be used as a kitchen utensil. But you can still use it, turn it upside down or whatever, and sit on it. It's a bench, tamei or medras. So therefore, if it's nistika, if it's cracked, split open, then it is Mekabel Tumas Medras. Hinicha bakshomim, suppose it has a crack in it. So now with a crack in it, it can't function as a nareva anymore. So it's not a nareva, so it's a bench. As a bench, it's tamei medras. But suppose hinicha bakshomim, you put it in the rain, And in the rain, v'nispicha, it's a wooden areva, so it swells a little bit, and it's when it's swollen, nispicha means it's swollen, it expands. So now the sedak, the crack in it, is sealed, is closed off. So now it is tumeya, tumei mace. It is mikabel tuma, tumas mace. But it is not metame tumas medris, because no one's going to sit on it. Why are you not going to sit on it? Because since it is nispicha, it is now a fine and useful areva, and as such, it is not tamei or medris. It's used back as a kitchen utensil for lisha. No one's going to sit on it. So it's not metame medris, not tamei or medris, but it's still tamei mace. Now, next step. Bakodim, you take this wooden areva, which had a crack in it, but the crack was now sealed off because it was swollen. It was swollen by the rainwater. Now you put it in the east wind, and the east wind is a warm wind, and it dries the areva to the extent that its wood is no longer swollen, and since it's no longer swollen, the crack reappears. Bakodim v'nistikov, you put it in the eastern wind, and lo and behold, it's cracked open again. And mikabeles medris, then it is mikabel tumas medris, because now, since the crack is back, it's not going to be used for lisha, it's not going to be used for kitchen purposes, so therefore, you're going to use it as a bench. Use it as a bench, it's tumeya medris. Ze chomer b'shiore kliyetz mibischila son. In this respect, the remainder, the residual, the leftover kliyetz at the end of its career, so to speak, is stricter than the areva was at the beginning of the career of its career. Because the areva, when it was in its beginning of its career, it was an intact, whole, uncracked areva. And therefore, it was not mekabeles tumas medris. Now that it has a crack in it, so it's a shiore kliyetz, now it's worse. It's mekabel tumas medris. The Mishnah continues with another such oddity, and that is v'chomer b'shiore klinitzorim mebetchilosam. Klinitzorim are baskets which are made from woven reeds of one sort or another. Actually, they're made of woven branches of an arava, of a willow tree, soft branches. So such baskets woven from reeds, the shiore klei netzorim, are in a sense stricter than the intact klei netzorim. Shemitchilosam eino mikablim tumo ad sheyischasmu. When you're weaving this basket, it's not mekabel tuma until you tie together the top of it, meaning you're weaving it from the bottom up, and then when you come to the top layer, you tie together and fasten together all the loose ends. That's called chasima, she yischasmu. So it's not mekabel tuma until yischasmu, until its upper rim is tied together and complete. But, the Mishnah continues, Nischasmu, once it has reached that stage of Nischasmu, and then it gets untied and undone, Afal pi she noshru sifso sehen, even though the rim falls apart, and all that's left is kol shehen, a little bit, temeyin, it is mikabel tuma. Once it reaches that stage, then if it becomes undone and becomes shiore klinitzorim, it is mekabel tuma. That's the pshat of the Bar Tanura, and others have a different pshat in this last phrase of Mishnah Beis. Continuing to Mishnah Gimel, makel, if you have a stick, shaso beis yad lekurdim, temporarily you use it as a handle for an axe or a shovel. But you're only using it temporarily. For whatever reason, the original handle broke or is lost or whatever. So you take a stick from the fireplace and you put that stick in the hole of the hatchet or the shovel, and you can use the shovel. So the Mishnah says, "Chibur latumah b'shas malacha." At the time you're using it as a shovel or a hatchet, at that time, the makel, the stick, is considered part of the hatchet. And if the hatchet becomes tomei, so does the stick. If the stick becomes tomei, so does the hatchet. But shelo b'shas melacha, if it's just the tool is just lying there idly, it's not being used, then the stick is not considered a chibur l'kudam. And because it's not affixed tightly, kavius, to the metal blade of the axe or shovel. It's only temporarily there. So therefore, if it's not being used, it's the kind of thing that you're going to remove the stick and throw it back in the fireplace, use it as fuel or whatever. So therefore, it is not mekabel tuma because it's just a stick, and the stick is pshuta kliyeitz, which is not mekabel tuma, unless it is part of a functional tool, meaning it's serving as a handle for an axe in process of being used as an axe. Now we come to another interesting tool, hadiustor. Diustor is a pole which has a hole at the lower end and a hole in the upper end. And through the hole in the upper end, you insert a metal rod going from, let's say, from east to west. And through the lower hole, you insert another rod going from north to south. So these two rods, some amount of space higher, let's say 2 feet higher, there's a lower rod is going from left to right, and the other one is going from front to back. So now you have almost a cross, C-R-O-S-S, that is formed by these two metal rods, and the metal rods are held in place in the hole in this wooden diustor, in this wooden pole. Now, this is used, this contraption is used when women usually work on a spinning wheel, and as the yarn comes off the wheel, it's already now woven, so it's woven into and around this cross-shaped contraption of two perpendicular rods, which are placed into this diustor. So now, this diustor, which is basically a wooden keli, and it has the pshuta kliyeitz, however, hadiustor chibur l'tuma b'shas melocha, at the time that it's being used by the woman who was spinning the wool as a place for her yarn to be hung, suspended between and around these two perpendicular metal rods as they are plugged into this diustor. So at that point, it is mekabel tuma. However, shelo b'shas melacha, if it's just a pole and is not being used as a diustor, as a yarn winder, so then it is not the rods, metal, and the wood, diustor, are not chibur zeh lezeh, because normally you remove these metal rods from the stick, from the diustor, and the stick that remains pshuta kliyeitz, and it's not mekabel tuma. However, kivao bichlonos. A chlonos is a thicker block of wood, a beam of wood, as opposed to the narrow pole that the diustor is. So suppose you take this diustor and you affix it, you plug it into a block of wood, a chlonos. Now it is a permanent tool. So then, tome, the diustor is now mekabel tuma, even not b'shas melacha, because it has a certain permanence to it, since you have fixed it or connected it to this block of wood, this klonis, so therefore, you're not going to remove the metal rods and throw the stick away. The stick has now been fixed in place in a klonis, so therefore it has a sense of permanence, and it is a tool, this diustor with the rods in it, even shelo b'shas melacha, even when you're not using it. But v'eino chiburla, this diustor is not considered a part of the klunis. The klunis is merely its base or support holding it in place, but it's not one component connected contraption of a klunis plus a diustor. So therefore, if the diustor becomes tomei, the klunis does not. Eino chibur lo. Also, bo de yustor. Suppose you make the klunis, this thick block of wood, itself a de yustor. You drill two holes perpendicularly, one going north to south and one going east to west. Two holes, a higher one, let's say, east to west, and a lower one in the klunis, north to south. So, and now you plug these two metal poles, metal rods, into the holes in the klunis. So the klunis is now functioning as a justor, but the klunis is a long beam. It's not a short pole. So therefore, ein tome elitzorcho. The only part of the klunis becomes tome. It's susceptible to tuma, because only part of it is used as a container, so to speak, of these rods. But so the space between these rods is mekabel tumah, but the rest of the klunus remains tohor. Kisei shekivo'o biklunus. Suppose you have a chair which you connect. You have a chair, a regular chair, which itself would be mekabel tumah's medras, because the chair, as normal use, is sitting upon it. But now you've affixed it, you connected it, you've tightened in a tight fashion, you connected it to the klunis, tome. So it is mekabel tuma, the kisei is mekabel tumas medris, but the eino chibur lo. The kisei is not considered to be part of the klunis just because it is attached to the klunis. But the klunis remains pshute kliyetz, which is not mekabel tuma. But suppose also bo kisei, you made a chair in the klunis. The klunis is a thick block of wood, and you fashioned out a little cavity in it, so now there's a chair built in, mamish, which is dug into the klunis. Ein tome elo makomo. So only that part of the klunis, of the block of wood, which is necessary, in other words, the border around the hole in which the chair, the seat is, that is mekabel tuma. But the rest of the klunis remains tohor. Kivo bekoras beis habat. Koras beis habat is a thick beam of wood which is used to press olives in the beis habat, in the olive factory. So suppose you take a chair and you affix the chair to one end of the koras beis habat. You can do this for a functional reason. You'll sit on the chair, and that way you'll put your weight on the chair, and the koras beis habat will go down further. And if it goes down further, it will press the olives better, or something like that. So kivo bekoras beis habad. So you affix a chair, you connect a chair to the koras beis habad, you bang it in with nails to this big thick beam. Tome, then the kisei, of course, the chair is mekabel tumas medris, because the chair is a chair. But the koras beis habad is just a big beam of wood, and it's therefore pshute kliyetz. It's not mekabel tuma. And good news, eino chibur lo. The chair is not considered to be part of the korah. The korah it doesn't lose its identity because a chair is banged into one end of it. Also, berosha kisei. Suppose you make a chair in the korah. You carve out in this thick beam a seat for yourself to sit on. Then tohor. That chair is not mekabel tumas medris. Why? Because when a person is busy squeezing the olives, I'm the olive maker, and I'm busy squeezing the olives, and you, Shloime, is sitting in this chair on my koda. What am I going to tell you? Hey, get off this chair. We got to do our work here. So this chair is not a permanent chair that's made for sitting. Because if someone's sitting on it, he's going to be told, classical phrase, amod v'nases melachteinu, get off the chair so we can get on with the business of squeezing the olives. So therefore, the kisei, which is made in the Rosh HaKorah, in the Korah, it's carved into the Korah itself, tor, it is, this, that chair is not mekabel tumas medris. Mimnesha Omer lo, because we will say to this Shloime who's sitting in that chair carved into the Korah, Amod v'nases melachteinu. This korah is not made for you to sit and take a suntan. This korah is made for squeezing olives. And therefore, this chair is not designed for sitting in. And therefore, it's not mekabel tumas medras. And so we have finished Mishneh Gimel of Perek Chof, and in the process concluded lesson number 82.